Morning, welcome to Cross, and we're glad you're with us here today. We're beginning a new series called Creating Culture. Creating Culture. I'm excited about this. This is something that God has been speaking to our hearts over the last couple months. We've been, as a staff and a leadership, really just breaking down and redefining what it means to follow Christ and how we as a body can connect to the vision that God has given us. Proverbs 29:18 states that where there is no vision, people perish. And while this is true, and we understand that, there's oftentimes a disconnect between knowing a vision, seeing the vision, and living out the vision, where it becomes a part of our lives. Over the past 12 years, we look back, and it's amazing to see what God has brought us through and brought us to. You know, we begin this journey back in 2008. And in 2008, God began to lay on our hearts just this heart, this process of saying he wanted us to come to this area and plant a church. We had no idea what that looked like. We didn't know. We just began the journey. So we started, and I remember driving around. And I remember as I drove through this area, I went in on a map that I had seen. It looked to be, they said it was a town at that time of about 5,000 to 6,000, but I could tell this is not a town of 5,000 to 6,000. So I drove in and I went into one of the local businesses and I just asked them. I said, "Hey, tell me a little about this town. I mean, the indication I have is it's about 5,000 to 6,000 people." It's like, "No, man, it's grown exponentially." At that time, it was 19,000. I mean, just process that. Now here we are pushing 40,000, the town of Little Elm plus Frisco, and it's just amazing. That's back when El Dorado was still two lanes and 423 was still two lanes, and it was just a traffic nightmare. Matter of fact, El Dorado may or may not have been called Hell Dorado. I mean, just so you know, it's how it was. It was just one of those places. It was crammed in here, and God began to burden on our hearts to come to this area and plant a church. We didn't even know what that looked like. And so we started out, and I remember calling Mandy, and then we shared the vision with multiple people, and they all came, and we had a group of us that began that journey back in 2008. And it's been amazing to see. But from the very beginning, God began to lay on our hearts that our vision wasn't just about us. I remember specifically as I was praying, he began to say that it's not simply just saying you're going to be, because, you know, in your mind, you think of what success is. And I want to get big. I want to do this. And the Lord began to speak and said, "Wait a second. That's not what I'm calling you to do. I'm asking you to have a wide reach. I'm asking you to be willing to go and plant churches all across this world." And so that was one of the visions that God gave us, that we would literally plant 30 churches. We'd plant 15 within the U.S., 15 overseas. And we had no idea what that looked like. We were planting our first church. It was all brand new to us. And so we're on this journey just figuring, like, what does this look like? Little did we know that God would begin to use us over the years. And then we planted our first church, and they ended up moving on and doing their own, moving out from us. And then we planted our second church with Movement Church in Salina, which is doing absolutely amazing. We're so proud of them. They own their own building and just growing and doing incredible things. Then we planted another church with True Light Assembly, who meets here on Sunday afternoons. And yet, exciting news. Are you ready for this? We're planning on another church plant coming in October in Dallas called Hope Dallas. Yeah. But we knew all along this was a heart that God was laying on us, but we didn't even know what it looked like or how we could do it or what it would look like. And so I remember the first meetings. We came up with all these, we went and visited churches, and we came up with these ideas and these snazzy logos. We want to have a relaxed atmosphere and real faith as opposed to, I guess, fake faith. I don't know what that means, you know, but it sounded good. We're like, this is cool, you know, and we dug into the Word of God. Because from the onset, one of the things you have to understand is our vision and mission has always been and will always line up with the Word of God. That was our filter. We said, okay, everything we do has to flow through this process. And so with that, we begin to say, okay, well, we want to help people become fully committed to Christ. Then a few years later, we went through it. We said, well, how can we connect this even more? Well, that's when we had the thought process of becoming disciples that make disciples for Christ. But here's what you have to understand. Through it all, the heart of it has been, is how can we connect you as the body, as the believers, as we join together, as a team, as a family, how can we connect you to what God is calling us to do? And so one of the things we begin to process over the last couple of months, because we realized this was a question that was asked. How can I, as an individual, connect to planting churches? Because I just listed three churches, and then now we have four churches that we're planting. And it's cool. We're like, oh yeah, praise God, that's great. But how do I connect to that? Because here's what we realize: there's a disconnect, isn't there? There's a disconnect that was happening from the vision that was being cast and the mission and how it applied to you as an individual. How do you connect to that? In other words, one of the questions was asked, like, I know we've planted these churches, but outside of, you know, just being a part of the church, what have I done? And it really began to cause those wheels begin to turn and say, how can we? So over this next 5 weeks, we're going to unpack a thought process of how we can create a culture. How if we all begin to join together, we can create a culture to where it becomes a lifestyle that we live that will literally flow through us into the nations. Because that's God's plan. That's his design. That's what he's called us to do. And so we're going to be sharing more about this over the next 5 weeks. But this year, even with Hope Dallas, we're already beginning to plan this. We're already on that journey of where they're going to have outreach events, where we're going to take groups of you where you can go physically be a part of Hope Dallas with Seth and Lacey. Cool thing about Seth and Lacey is they actually started with us at the very beginning. And now here they are, years later, God's using them to plant a church in Dallas. We're excited about that. So as we begin to process that and look at that disconnect, one of the areas, how can we better understand? Because when you say, well, you know, we want to plant churches, what's a better way of saying it? So one of the things you've probably heard me say over the last couple of months, as I've just been trying to infuse it as we talk, is that our heart, simply put, is to be a local church with a global mission. A local church with a global mission. We recognize it's not simply about us. It's not simply about building our own kingdom and building a building and having all these things. It's about going out into the world because that's our call, isn't it? Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. That is the Great Commission. It is told to us. Our heart is not simply to be a church, but it's a local church with a global mission. But the other thing that we've always dealt with, the two scriptures that have resonated within us is the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Because I believe those are the two foundational scriptures as believers. As in the New Testament, we see these were given to us as mandates for us to live out. And the Great Commandment is Matthew 22 that says this. It says, verse 37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as we process that, one of the thoughts, this is simply a line that you've probably heard me say as well, but I want to begin to lay out before you is our heart is to be a local church with a global mission to know Jesus and to make him known. Isn't that what it's all about? When you break down the scripture, the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, our reasoning, we're here, is to be a local church with a global mission and to know Jesus and to make him known. That he can be known, that others can experience and know who Christ is and experience his love. So how do we reconnect people to the vision that God is calling us? And that's what this series is going to be about. How do we reconnect that? Well, I believe it starts with creating culture. It starts with us beginning to create culture. Because here's why. Culture, what? It sets the environment. And what happens? When you set the environment determines what lives or dies, doesn't it? The environment, anything, determines what lives or dies. And culture, it sets that environment. So the culture that we create is literally going to help within our lives as well as the life of this church. Now look at the definition of culture. Culture, by definition, is the attitudes and behavior characteristics of a particular social group. In other words, it's how we live and act every day, isn't it? It's simply put, it's how you live, how you interact, and what we do. So it's taking, instead of just words that we say, but it's becoming a lifestyle that we live. Now, why is this important? Why is it important? Well, here's the reason why. Because culture, catch this, can define you, or you can define culture. Think about that. Culture can define you, or you can define culture. Let me take that a step further. If you don't define culture, culture will define you. You have to be willing to say, okay, this is the environment that I choose to live by. This is how I choose to act. And by my choice of that, what happens? It begins to shift inside of us. So as a staff, we've basically defined five key elements, or what we're going to call culture statements, which is simply basically wrapping up the vision and mission, saying this is it, and this what we believe is if we begin to live this out within our lives on a daily basis, what's going to happen? It's going to change the culture of us as believers. And as it changes the culture of us, it's going to change the environment. As it changes the environment, what happens? It determines growth. It shifts the growth, and it focuses our attention on God's mission and what he's called us to. So we're going to define these key elements. So what are the key elements needed to create culture where we are a group of people that exist to know him, know Jesus, and to make him known? The first one we're going to talk about today is every person matters. And I want you to watch a video clip of how this impacts our church and how we believe it's already a part of our culture that we want to build and cultivate. Take a look.
Growing up, we didn't really go to church much. It was just me, my sisters, and my mom. My stepdad was always working, so we never really got to see him much. We didn't really have a lot of money growing up, so we were always struggling. Through, like, just whether or not we were going to have a meal or not. 4 years ago, we moved to Little Owl. That's when we tried getting a new fresh start, and our struggles went with us. So about 2 years ago, a baby sister was diagnosed with leukemia, and that's when things went downhill. Our family just kind of felt more like apart almost. And my mom was... During that time, my mom was always at the hospital, so we really only got to see her like once a week, and my dad was always working. During this time, my mom had met Wendy from this church, and she had mentioned us to come to the Crossing, but we were very nervous to come because this was like the first time we've ever gone to church for a while, so we were very nervous to come. So we decided to come, and it was actually really fun. We enjoyed it a lot. The service was very fun. The people were great. We just felt very welcomed here. And then we started going to youth, and it was really fun too. We were about to go to youth camp, and that's when I rededicated my life to Christ through knowing him. As soon as we got back, I had gotten baptized. After I got baptized, our parents had gotten split up, and we were going into foster care. This was like the first time those kids ever had done it. So we were very sad. Like, it was a very sad moment for us kids, because we weren't really sure what was going to happen. Like, weren't sure if we were going to go into different families or what, or... But that's when the church, like, very stepped up for us. And some families have wanted us to stay with them. And because of those families, our siblings were able to stay closer together because, like, they lived a lot closer. The church made us feel very welcomed here and made us very, like, that we belong. It was pretty much like our second home.
Here's what I know. Every person matters. And every person matters to God. Therefore, every person matters to us. It's one thing to say every person matters. It's another thing to live it. When you are faced with the situation, when it disrupts your daily routine, when it changes your comfort zone. We can all say, oh, every person matters, but do we truly believe it? And when you're found, or truly find if you believe it or not, is whenever you're faced with a situation that you have to make. You see, Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Isn't that amazing? You are God's masterpiece. You are vital. You are important to God. And therefore, when you're important to God, everyone should be important to us. Do you realize in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 that the word of God tells us before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. He set you apart before you were born. He had a purpose. We see that example found through the prophet Jeremiah. It's an eye-opening experience. We often think that things are just accident. Nobody's an accident. God has a plan for each and every person. And it's important that we as believers begin to cultivate that in our lives to say, every single person matters. Everyone matters. You matter. We all matter because we are God's creation. We are his masterpiece. But here's the burning question. How do I live like every person matters? Because there again, it's one thing to say, oh, yes, every person matters. Oh, that's a good statement. Yeah, let me remember that. But how do I live? How does it change me? Because if it changes you, it will change your culture. If it changes your culture, that's when you define it. It will change your environment. If you change the environment, it will bring growth in your life and growth in the life of us as a body of believers. So how do I live? Well, I'm going to list a couple of, I believe, key underlying issues that we have to adopt as a part of our actions and how we live. And the first one is simply this, to treat people as people and not objects. To treat people as people. We went through this in the last series. So many times we look at people as objects and how they can help me get to where I'm going. But people are not objects. People are people. Everybody has a story. Everybody has good times. Everybody has bad times. And you know what? You've got to recognize that sometimes we're all walking through that life. And sometimes we need each other. We need someone there to help us, a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes we need somebody there to cheer us on. It's all a part of us living life together. That's what it's all about. And if you treat people as people, not objects, they begin to see that you value them. And it begins to create a culture that every person matters. 1 John 4:7-8 says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not know love, think about this. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's a strong statement. In other words, if you are a child of God, if you believe that God has died for you, then it's your responsibility to love others and to show them that everyone matters, that they matter. Another element that I believe is crucial in living out a life that where every person matters is to pray for them. When's the last time you prayed for somebody outside of just your own family? Do you have somebody that you're praying for right now that you know does not know Christ? Is there somebody that you're looking at saying, Lord, help them? Lord, begin to reveal yourself to them. Because prayer matters and prayer works. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, always be joyful and never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will, for you belong to Christ Jesus. It's telling us what? This is crucial. You've got to begin to pray for them. Because here's what you have to understand. You will never be the catalyst that changes somebody's life. They are only changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. God will use you, but you itself, you're not the ultimate changing part. You're simply a piece of God's plan. But when you begin to treat them as every person matters, you begin to pray for them, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit begins to work in their lives. He's the one who can soften their hearts. He's the one that can speak to them and reveal himself to them where there's nothing that maybe we could do. Ephesians 6:18 says, in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Prayer is pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Pray. Identify somebody you can pray for this week. Who can I pray for? Is it a neighbor? Is it a coworker? Is it a friend? Is it a loved one? But who are you intentionally praying? Because this is about intentional growth, saying, I'm going to know Jesus, but I'm going to make him known. And by doing that, I'm going to recognize that every person matters, and I'm going to begin to pray that God would reveal himself to some of the people in my life that I'm associated with. The next element that I believe is vital to living a life that every person matters is to extend God's grace to them. To extend God's grace to them. Now, this is hard to do sometimes. Because the truth is, if you've walked through life at any point, sometimes there are people, let's just be honest, you don't want to extend grace to. Like, yeah, they don't need grace. They need a little bit of judgment, right? You know who they are. You're already thinking about them. You know, you don't know what they've done, and I get that. But look at Ephesians 4:7. It says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Think of it like this. You have received God's grace. We just sang about it, didn't we? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You have been given God's grace. But yet we should also extend God's grace, shouldn't we? We should extend it. Matthew 7, 1 through 3 says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Wow, this is Jesus talking. He's saying, hey, don't worry about judging others, but it's hard sometimes. This past week, the boys at the junior high, they handed out Gideon Bibles. And the boys came home upset because many of the kids there could care less about the Bible. But instead of just not taking it, they took it and began to tear it apart, ripping pages out. Some kids think it was funny to eat pages. Kids flushing the Bibles down the toilet to get a laugh. Taking the Bibles and stuffing them in the storm drains. And they came home upset. Like, how could people hate God so much? Why would they do that? Why is this okay? Why are they doing this? And your natural instinct is anger. Where are the teachers? Where's the administration? What are they doing? If this had been any other, you know, religion, we'd be on the news. You know, all these anger come up within you. But then the next thought that comes and says, wow, there's a lot of people who need Jesus in that school. There's a lot of people who have not truly experienced his love. There's a lot of people, this is simply just religion. It's not a relationship. They don't understand what it means to feel the love of God. And as they were upset, I just remember telling them, I said, what an awesome opportunity, isn't it? You see, sometimes we don't want to extend grace. But when every person matters, sometimes grace is the only thing they could understand. And it's our responsibility as believers to treat people as if every person matters. Another vital aspect to living a life as every person matters is to invest and care for them. Galatians 6, 2 and 3 says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Strong words. But it's the investment. It's the showing I care. It's the old saying, you've heard it. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You can say that, you can quote that, but are you extending care? Are you praying for someone? Are you extending care? Are you investing in their lives, extending grace, showing them that God loves them? Because these are elements that God uses. Why? Because you're beginning to, when you begin to treat people like they matter, you know what happens? They begin to feel like people. They begin to respond as a person and not an object. Because there's a lot of things that can be talked about. You can say what you want, but love conquers all. Because love, God is love. And when you extend God's love, you're extending Christ to them, and they can experience and feel love. Another element that's very important is to celebrate them. To celebrate them. Encourage. In other words, encourage everybody. Encourage them. Let them know that there is encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other. Build each other up. So just as you are already doing. Saying you need encouragement. Some days you need somebody to tell you that a boy, don't you? Some days you need to tell somebody just to tell you you're doing a great job. Because here's what happens. What often do we hear more than anything what we're doing wrong? Rarely do you have somebody say, great job. When's the last time you encouraged somebody? I mean, think about it. You go to the restaurant. I mean, when you go to the restaurant, even some of you are going to go out today. How far do you think you could go if you look at someone and say, thank you. This was great. I appreciate you. You don't think that matters? It matters to you, doesn't it? Because who are the people who normally come talk to them? The people who have a problem. Because we live in this negative society where we get caught up into it. Because why? We look at people's objects and not people. Everybody matters. Every person matters. And when you will just celebrate and encourage them, you know what? It changes people. It softens them. Because they begin to see and feel that they matter. They begin to see and feel that you value them. And lastly, but not least, is to love them. When you love them and you extend the love of God to them, it changes everything. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. We read it in Matthew 22. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you extend God's love, when you say, Lord, I'm gonna show your love. I'm going to be kind. Because what is love? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love is not boastful, proud. Don't like those, do we? Here's a good one. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Not fun, is it? But when you begin to extend the love of God, it breaks down the barriers. Listen, some people, I get it. I know what you're thinking. Well, I can love them, but them, I don't think they deserve it. And you're right, they don't. But you know what? Neither do you. Neither do I. I mean, let's just be honest. Aren't we being honest here? There are some people who you can justify don't deserve any love. But we don't deserve it either. But yet God loved us, doesn't he? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. That whoever believes in him, they're not going to perish, but they're going to have everlasting life. That verse, I don't know, for those of you that are parents, I remember as growing up before we had children, that verse did not mean as much. But if you're a parent, and you have a child, as much as they can drive you crazy, you would not want to give them up for someone else. Because you love them. They're yours. And when you look at this, you say, wow, he loved us that much that he gave his son that we could experience his love. You see, here's what happens. If you've experienced God's grace, you've been found by God, you know what? Found people, find people. You're going to extend that love to others. you're going to show them that they matter, because every person matters. See, our heart is that every person that walks through our doors should feel like they belong, and that at the crossing is a safe place for them to explore faith and seek Jesus, that they can begin to see who he is. You know, that happens with the families that stepped up and said, hey, we're going to make you a part of our family, as you saw in the video, because that's extending God's love. That's what it's all about. Not just saying every person matters, but living as if they matter. You see, every person matters, but here's what you have to understand. You matter. You have value. As a part of this family, as a part of a body of believers, you have value in the kingdom of God. Look at Ephesians 4:16. It says, and he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In other words, he's equating to us as a body of believers into as your body. Now, I don't know about you, but I like all the extremities of my body, right? I like my fingers. Can any of you think of one finger you just like to do without today? You know, like just take this hand off. I don't think I need it anymore. It matters, doesn't it? Every part is important. Why is it that your tooth can hurt and your whole body hurts? I don't understand that. How come when my back hurts, I feel like I can't even move? It's just my back. You ever stubbed your toe? You know, you dropped something on your toe and it's like, yeah! Everything hurts, but it's just your toe that got hurt. Because every part is important, isn't it? You're important. And for us to simply just say, let's create culture, here's a statement, here's how we live it, we can do that, and we can just go on our merry life. But where the change happens is when you begin to accept it and say, okay, you know what? I want it to change me. I can't control everybody else, but I can control my attitude, can't I? I can control whether or not I'm going to pray for somebody. I can control whether or not I'm going to invest in someone's life. I have control over whether or not I'm going to extend grace when I don't think they need it or deserve it. I can control that I'm going to be an encourager. And I'm going to let people know that, hey, great job. Thank you. I'm going to be one that acts different than others. I'm going to treat people like they're people and not an object. So how do I live this out? Where it becomes the culture of our church and in my life. I know I've listed several things that I believe are elements that define what every person matters looks like. What it boils down to is you applying it to your life. So one of the ways we're going to do it, we want to break it down as simple as we can. And it's through a thought process that we're simply calling one by one. You, one. You matter. Will you reach at least one? If we're being truthful, we could probably have 3, 4, 5, couldn't we? But just start with one. One by one. And over the next weeks and months, we're going to be challenging you. What are you doing with your one? How are you helping your one? So the first week we're going to talk about over the next... this next month, as I'm asking you this question, identify who you're praying for. Who are they? Who are they? The second step is to invest in them. And we'll talk about that when it's time, but right now we're going to identify. The next step is to invite them. Maybe if you, here's what I know. If you identify and pray for somebody, God's going to speak into their heart, isn't he? Because that's who he is. And you know, it takes pressure off you. You don't have to do it. If you invest in somebody, show them care, you begin to treat them like they matter, you know what's going to happen? It's going to impact them. They may not be accepting to anything you're saying now, but if you're simply showing you care, it's creating culture. It's creating an environment where God can move in their life. And then beyond that, sometimes when you do that, Here's what I know. You're going to have an opportunity to invite somebody. Sometimes that invitation's to church. You know, when that season's right, you can see that God's working. Hey, why don't you come to church with me? Sometimes it's an invitation to know Christ. And you have the opportunity to lead them to Christ. But if you're willing to pray for them, if you're willing to invest in them, if you're willing to invite them, God's going to give you those opportunities. But there's a step beyond that, isn't it? Because it's not simply just saying a prayer and inviting them to Christ or inviting them to church. The last step is to involve them, to take them by the hand and walk the journey with them. To say, hey, what a great opportunity you have to know Christ, to know Jesus, and now to make him known. Because here at the Crossing, we're a local church with a global mission. That's why we're here. That's our heart. And over the next 5 weeks, we want to connect you to that all the ways we can. That you can see, as we said this week, that every person matters. Everyone matters. So how are you living to show them they matter? So here's what I want you to do. Here's your homework. On social media, if you have it, is it on the website as well? So it's on the website or the Facebook. It's whatever media you need to find. You'll find it. It's out there. But we have a screen. Do we have a picture of it up there? No. Basically, it's just you. It's this right here. Every person matters. But in there, you have a name that you can put. Here's what I want you to do. Go ahead, put that down. You can put that name in there. And whenever you look at your phone, you can look at it and say, am I praying for this person? Because I know you look at your phone every day. True. But you'll say, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. And as you begin to pray and you begin to believe God to work in their life, can I tell you something? He will. If you pray, you ask him, he will. Because when you're willing to say, Lord, I'm going to treat them as they matter and I'm going to pray for them, God begins to do stuff that you can't even do. He prepares our hearts in ways you can't even prepare them. But I want to ask you this morning, who are you praying for? Would you close your eyes and reflect for a moment? Who is that one you're praying for that does not know Christ? Is it your neighbor? Is it your friend? Is it a loved one? Who have you identified that one by one you can show them they matter? Here's what I'm going to do. I want to pray. And if you're here and you're in that process, you know who they are. As I pray, I want this to be your first prayer for them, whoever they are. Just a simple prayer. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to be giving you elements to pray for. But right now, you're simply just praying that God would reveal themselves to them. Lord, reveal yourself. That's all your prayer. If that's all you pray this week, that's going to be powerful. Lord, reveal yourself to them. Show them who you are. Because when you do that, you're releasing your prayers and God to minister in their house. So I'm going to pray, and I want you just to simply pray with me. Say, Lord, pray. Lord, right now, Lord, I pray us as a body of believers, God, that I just pray that you would help us reveal yourself, Lord, to them, that you would show them, Lord, each and every name as it's called out. Lord, that you would reveal themselves, that you would show them that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by you. That, Lord, they would see you, they would experience you, they would know you in a way like never before. God, I pray for opportunities to speak life into them. Opportunities, God, to know them and to share your love with them. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each and every person here. Give us the resolve to begin to identify and pray for those, that it becomes a part of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we move on in the service and have prayer, I want you to just close your eyes one more time. I never close a service without giving you a chance to accept Christ. If you're here today, and maybe you don't know him, or maybe you've accepted him as your Savior once before, but you don't know him now, and you're not following him, we never close a service without giving you that chance to experience him as your Savior. And if you're here today, maybe you want to rededicate your life to him, or maybe you just accept him for the first time. But if you're here today and you say, hey, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. I want to put him first in my life with no one looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. We're going to pray with you as a whole body right here in just a moment. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But if you're here today and you're saying, hey, that's me. I want to commit or recommit my life to Christ. Would you just make eye contact with me? I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Anybody here today? Anybody here? Okay. That tells me that you're either A, that you've accepted him as your Savior, or maybe you're on a journey towards that. And if that's you, then continue to seek him out. The Bible says if you seek him, you'll find him. If you'll knock, the door will be open. But that's what it's all about. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would speak life into each and every individual. Help us to see you and to know you and make you known in our hearts, in our lives, in everything we do and everything we say. In Jesus' name, amen.